Marcy Nault has been busy with a few intriguing projects. She's the creator of 101 Dreams Come True. You might have heard about this motivational website where she shared the pursuit of her personal bucket list and helps guide other people to do the same. Looking over the list, I believe it could have been number 16 that led her to writing and publishing her first novel, The Lake House, which is released today, and that's why she's joining me here in our studio. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to be here, Beth.
We'll check out that number 16 in a minute, but it's a big day today. How's the sense of accomplishment?
It's overwhelming. It's just, you know, normally I can feel the emotions of a dream and wow, I've done it. And this has been my biggest dream to become a novelist. And I think I'm just kind of walking around starstruck with my own book, which sounds a little strange. It's just, wow, I really did this.
I think that's how most of us imagine you should feel when you give birth to a book project. But it was number 16 that on your list said to write a fiction novel and have an agent. And all of that began with a dream, didn't it?
It did, actually. This book came to me while I was sleeping. I was looking for a house. And in the dream, I found this just delicious house on a lake. And I fell in love with it. And I bought it. And on move-in day, everybody was over the age of 70 in this little community, and they were coming over and bringing casseroles and trying to set me up with their grandsons. And I thought, what did I just do? And I woke up and I thought, this is a book. I have to write this story.
And that's exactly what it is. Victoria is 74 and Heather is 28.
Yes.
And this book is about them figuring out what's in the middle between them.
Absolutely. And they're both looking for that sense of home. And in a lot of ways, they've looked outside themselves and outside of a community kind of for validation in their lives and for their dreams to come true. But there's just something missing inside, and they kind of find it in the most unlikely place, in each other and in this community.
When you were having the dream and you woke up and processed it, what was it about your own thoughts about where somebody is in their 70s and what they know and think about compared to you being in your 20s?
You know, I'm very close to my grandparents, and so right at that time, it was coming to that point where my mom was having to step in more and more and more, and I was seeing what my grandparents were going through. But at the same time, I was also meeting people in their 70s that were doing fabulous things, traveling the world, ice skating, you know, all of that. And I wanted to take all of that and kind of have a voice for a generation that was so phenomenal. The World War II generation, they just are incredibly inspiring and spunky and lively. And they're also going through something right now of being older and kind of forgotten in a world that is infused with technology.
Talk a little bit. Oh,
I know. That's okay.
Talk a little bit, though, too, about Alzheimer's, because you do deal with that illness and the situation of someone coping with Alzheimer's.
Well, I think it's one of the saddest things, because especially if you've built this amazing life and you have all these grandchildren and children and people who love you and you can't remember it. And my mother was actually working with an Alzheimer's patient at the time, and I was seeing her go back in time, and she thought she was back in high school, and she was waiting for her boyfriend to come and pick her up for a date, and she could still play the piano beautifully. And unfortunately, that's such a part of our reality these days, the thought that you can lose all your memories.
So that's more of the generation of the 70-year-olds.
Yes.
Now to the 28-year-old. And this woman, this character, had a life, had the kind of life that a lot of people would dream of. But it wasn't going to be enough. And she sets out to make a distinction between what the older character later says, success doesn't mean safety.
Exactly. And this young character, as so many young people believe and think, and you almost have to, that if you just hit this certain point in life, then you're going to feel safe, then you're going to have it all, then everything's going to be right in your life. And she comes to this community, and she does. She leaves behind this gorgeous man, and she doesn't leave behind her career, but her career is kind of faltering as a travel columnist.
And he was responsible for the career. He was her agent and built it all.
Exactly. And so she's taking this huge risk, but every time she comes home to where they live, she doesn't feel like she's home. And she's just missing something in her life. And it's become such a gut reaction in her that she just makes an impulsive move and says, I need more from this relationship. And he gets angry and says, then get out. And well, where's she going to go? And she's been daydreaming about this little lake house because that's the last time she felt safe, was when her grandmother was alive and she was at her lake house. And so she makes this impulsive move. But what she doesn't realize as she's searching for the success, and of course she wants that in her life and deserves it for how hard she works, she's really finding that place, needing to find that place where she belongs, where she can come home. And originally the book was called Age Old Lunacy, because what I realized is that the 70-year-olds and the 28-year-old, they've all gone through the same things, different generations, different ways of looking at it, but the same emotions going over and over and over again.
All right, that was one title, Age Old Lunacy.
Yes.
Now, what about this one, Who I Am With You? Was that a different title?
That was a different title. It probably had a good 100 titles.
Yeah, when I went back to your list of your bucket list items, number 16, it was definitely describing this book, The Lake House, but definitely different title.
Absolutely. When I signed with Lauren McKenna at Simon & Schuster, the imprint of Gallery, she was like, she got on the phone, and I was talking to a lot of different editors. This book actually went at auction. And she's like, here's the deal. Love the story. Hate the title. Are you okay if I change it? I said, it's not mine. That was my agency that came up with it. And she's like, oh, good. Because by the way, it's The Lake House. That's it.
Okay. This is funny. Yesterday, we had John Lesqua in here, who sold 10 million copies of his 24 books. And he said out of that many, maybe only 4 has he been able to pick the title of.
Yeah.
That this whole title adventure is pretty interesting. In an
author's
life.
So you always say working title.
Yeah.
And you know that what it really comes down to is the publisher and the editor making that decision for you.
Well, I asked if you'd share a little bit. So
yes.
Will you do a reading for us? And now we've gone further on, so we know a little bit more about the characters, but we're going to start at the beginning.
Yes. The last few snowflakes drifted to the ground. The nor'easter, as they called it in New England, had passed. Its brutal wake of snow and ice transformed the landscape into a winter wonderland. Downy blankets covered the tree branches, and silver moonlight reflected off the ice-hardened snow. The earth bowed its head in quiet prayer, and the stars awakened from under dark clouds. The wind died to a thick silence that Victoria Rose felt she could almost touch. She walked along Nagog's paved road in black high-heeled boots. Cold seeped through the thin soles as salt pellets rolled and crunched under her feet. She left Nagog in her late teens, and except for 2 winters, her visits had been restricted to a few weeks here and there, or the summer months. For the past 55 years, she lived mostly in Southern California's warmth. There, boots were only an accessory, and there was no need for heavy sweaters underneath a thick, cumbersome jacket. At the moment, a hideous bright blue parka, a loaner from her childhood friend Molly Jacobs, covered her upper body and made her feel like the Michelin Man. When Victoria had landed at Boston Logan Airport earlier that afternoon, the heavy winds whipped the snow into furious spirals, and she realized she was unprepared to face the cold of her childhood home. When Molly met her at the baggage claim, her friend's pillow-like body had encased her in a hug, and her white hair pressed against Victoria's chest. "You're home," she said, as fellow passengers bumped past them. Molly lifted her head, and her blue eyes brimmed with tears. Molly was brown sugar, cinnamon, and vanilla. She was homemade bread cooling on the kitchen windowsill. Warm, doughy hands smushed Victoria's angular cheekbones, and Victoria could hear Molly's thoughts. This day had been too long in coming.
That's Marcy Nault reading from her debut novel, The Lake House. It's released today. There's a book launch party on Friday.
Yes.
And that's at Gallery 2110.
Yes, and it's a night to celebrate the arts. We have actors and actresses coming in to act out parts of the book. We have comedians doing improv on it. There'll be lots of art, great musicians, and live salsa dancers to end the night.
Starts at what time?
7 o'clock.
Okay, when you start reading, the Massachusetts accent rolls out a little bit. Do you know that? You are a Massachusetts girl, actually from Lake Nagog.
Right around that area, yes.
Displaced and living out here in California.
Yes.
Right. So you're actually writing about the area that you grew up in.
I really am, yeah. The place that I set Nagog is actually a nature preserve. And whenever I go out there or go home, I take a walk out to this dock and I stare at the pond. And actually up on Pinterest, I have pictures of it. And whenever I saw the cover, now I never spoke to the cover designer, and it's that spot. It's just they grabbed it and it's perfect.
Well, I referred to your list of 101 dreams, and it sounds like a wonderful way to seek out who you are, what you want your life to be. And you've completed, or at least the initial step of each item on the list you've done now?
I'm up to Friday night to have a big launch party is number 89. And so I've completed almost 89 of them, or almost 90, actually.
It's kind of fun to click through what your dream was and then see a picture of you or a description of what it was. And I love that number 100 and number 101 are what?
Private.
They are. We don't get to know those very personal dreams, at least not yet.
Not yet, no. I figured it was a little like standing naked in front of the world when you put up all your dreams. I needed some privacy, and those I just wasn't ready to share yet.
Some are small, some are big. If you're to 89 at this point, what's the overarching truth that you found?
That the fear never goes away. And that fear is actually an emotion that makes you realize that you want something so bad it'll hurt that you won't get it. And most people stop at the fear and say, I just can't do this. I don't want to take the risk. But that's when you know you're really going after something you want and that you're so much bigger than you can ever imagine. And if you take the chance, the world kind of shows you what's possible.
Well, today you have a novel called The Lake House to
yes.
put in front of you and remind you every day. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Good for you. Keep going. Come back and tell us more about the dreams, okay?
I will, definitely.
Marcy Nault. Again, the book is The Lake House. It will be celebrated Friday night at Gallery 2110 in Sacramento. We have more details. Plus, we've added a link to her Dreams Come True website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.